Are you noticing how the music keeps going? You're hearing the bass man doing what he's doing, just walking his bass. The drummer is doing all kinds of things. He's working with his hi-hat, his cymbals, his traps, everything. And Hiromi is just working with those keys on that piano, filling up the space. See how many times you can hear just complete silence. I didn't hear any then. We'll listen some more though. All right, so we're taking a look at the amount of use in a given month for the average American. So for those of you who use social media, typically I want to see where you all fall in comparison to the average that the studies have come up with. How many minutes per day would you say you get on there? Let's say, how many times per day? 4 times a day? 8 times a day? On average, how many minutes each time you get on there on a daily basis? And so if you take that and compute that over a monthly period of time, how much time would you say you spend typically on social media each month? Well, on average, Americans spend 7.6 hours each month on the social network sites. The latest stats show that around 42% of online adults use multiple social networking sites. The majority of social media users are under the age of 30, although the number of older users is on the rise. Around 45% of internet users aged 65 or older now use Facebook, and that has increased from 35% in 2012. I'm telling you, it's interesting. On average, with that 7.6 hours a month of social media use, the majority of individuals access social networking sites through cell phones. How about you? Most of yours through your cell phone, or are you just as likely to use your laptop or your iPad or something else larger than a smartphone, but smaller than a desktop, maybe even smaller than a laptop? In the late 1980s, the first commercial dial-up internet service provider, ISP, was launched in the U.S. And man, how things have changed. How many of you all remember when we literally heard a dial tone when we first logged on to our computers and everything was going through MS-DOS? And you remember how things moved at a pretty good rate, but at the same time, it seemed so slow as we were waiting for that computer to boot up? Some of you who have come on the scene lately, when I say lately, maybe in the last, I don't know, 15 years or so, 20 years or so, did not have the good fortune of working with computers that operated from the Microsoft DOS system, where you saw everything that was booting up, and it took minutes and minutes and minutes for all that stuff to finally load up so that you could start typing and doing whatever you were going to do with the computer. It was a little frustrating because even though we had our typewriters, and the typewriters were not as fast as the computers, you know, once you got going with them, the thing is, you didn't have to wait for a typewriter to boot up. You just turned it on and started typing. And so it was a little bit aggravating, I guess for some people, very aggravating, when we first started using those computers and you had to wait for that operating system to load and wait and wait and wait and wait. Don't be trying to demonstrate something to somebody and you had your computer turned off. You had to turn that baby on and wait for it to boot up. Now, if it's on, or even if it's not on, it takes a few seconds to turn on. Click that baby after you put your password in. Boom, it's up. Ready to go. It's ready for us. Yes. But back then, late 80s, we're talking dial-up system. One of the main attractions for connecting to the internet was the ability to better connect with the world around us. For example, the internet allows it to send emails as an alternative to the timely process of sending letters through the mail. And as a matter of fact, they say that social media was built on that premise, that you could send information in writing to someone much more quickly than the way we traditionally did it. Or we put it in writing, or we typed the letter up, like I said, put it in the mail, and it had to be shipped, driven, flown to wherever it was going. It could take days, sometimes weeks. Email, instant. Well, Facebook's mission, what is it? It's actually to give people the power to share and make the world more open and connected. People use Facebook to stay connected with friends and family, to discover what's going on in the world, and to share and express what matters to them. Any of you parents ever get concerned about some of the information that your kids, and not just your 8-year-old kids either, I'm talking 28-year-old kids, some of the stuff that they share online? I'm not even talking about the young people who decide that they want to get very, very, how should we say it? Not exploitative. Don't want to use the word exhibitionistic, but they really want to just put it all out there, and so they show their exposed bodies. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about information about what's going on in the home. Information about where they are when they're vacationing, while they're there. Well, sometimes even sharing, especially when you're sharing it with the whole world, needs to be done with discretion, huh? Well, that sums up this whole issue of sharing and expressing what matters to them, sums up what the majority of social networking sites endeavor to achieve. And there's no doubt that the general public has succumbed to the world of social media, and as I was just implying, perhaps a little too much. Recent stats show that 63% of American Facebook users log on to the site daily, while 40% of users log on multiple times a day. Now, where do you fit in there? Once a day? 3 times a day? 8 times a day? And of course, people have their reasons for using social media. Some people like to browse at other people's status updates and photos, while others use the sites as a way to vent their emotions. But according to Dr. Shannon M. Roche of Benedictine University at Mesa, Arizona, one of the main reasons, ladies and gentlemen, I think this may shock you. One of the main reasons that people use social media is for self-distraction and boredom relief. Self-distraction and boredom relief. Two of the main reasons that people use social media. What are the main reasons you use it? And do you find that for those of you who use it for boredom relief, do you find that your boredom is truly relieved once you've spent some time on social media? In other words, the person who is experiencing pain, inner pain, emotional pain, mental pain, and they decide, okay, I'm going to take care of this pain relief. I'm going to take care of this pain. I'm going to relieve the pain by smoking marijuana or by drinking alcohol. Does the marijuana or the alcohol actually relieve the pain? In other words, does the pain go away? Maybe it's just masked for a while, right? And then after they finish and the alcohol is no longer doing what it does, or the marijuana is no longer doing what it does, the pain is still there. How about the boredom? The boredom factor for the people who go to the media, the social media, to relieve boredom. And maybe that boredom is somewhat masked while they're on social media. What happens after they log off of social media? Is the boredom gone, or does it reappear? Was it just masked instead of actually dealt with? Well, for the people who post status updates, reinforcements keep coming in the form of supportive comments and likes. And of course, we know that behaviors that are consistently reinforced will be repeated. So it becomes hard for a person who has developed this habit to just simply stop. And that behavior can actually lead to Facebook addiction. Yep, Facebook addiction. And we talked about that a while back, whether or not people can become addicted to social media. And of course, the answer was yes, they can.